Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are glad to be with you this morning. We're actually going to start off the service as we learn a new song together. This song is called We Praise You.
Conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise.
God, he holds the victory. While you're standing, help me as we shout out his praise. Let's shout out some of the names of the Lord today. He is our King of Kings. What else?
Lord of Lords.
Let's hear it. Shout it out.
El Shaddai.
Amen. Redeemer. Who's he to you today? Amen. Who else? Amen. He's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the first and the last. He is as the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Son of Righteousness who brings healing in his wings. He is the gentle healer. He is the good shepherd. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will return again someday as the conquering king. He's the judge. He's the lawgiver. He's the mercy bringer. He is grace himself. And so we celebrate that. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for peace. Thank you that you are the one who brings new life to us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Lord, our hope is found in Jesus alone. God, if there's a person in this room or somebody participating online right now or someone who's listening on the radio and they are trying to find hope any other way than in you, Father, that is a dead-end road. It will surely be one that falls short. So God, today may we be reminded right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and prompt us and remind us that Jesus is our hope. So we sing about that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just remain standing with us, if you will. Listen, I don't know what circumstance brings you here today, what your situation is, good or bad, but your hope is found in Jesus. So let this be your testimony. Would you sing this song with us? Let's sing together.
I've been held by the Savior. I fell far from.
Oh, my sins. continue worshiping as we sing about the precious blood of Jesus. Sing that out, church.
The blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes. It soothes my doubt and calms my fears. And it dries all my tears. The love that gives me strength from day.
By saying the names of God, the many, many names of God. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through at all, but guess who does? Jesus Christ knows exactly who you're going through, who knows every single fiber of your being. So when we sing things about the cleansing blood of Jesus, when we sing things about the joy in the house of the Lord, we mean it, and we can rest in full assurance that our God is a living God who is here in this room at this very moment. So what about you? What about you? What is happening in your life right now? What's weighing you down? What's keeping you from full doxology to Jesus Christ this morning? Let it go, friend. Let it go. Let it go. Whatever is keeping you from Jesus Christ this morning, lay it down. Cast out your cares to him. And we just sing this bridge together. I won't bow.
I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just a doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing. My song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified.
Those words that we just lifted that say, I won't bow to idols. Friends, with their heads bowed for a moment, the truth is, it's been said and it is true, our hearts are an idol-making factory. It is so easy, left unattended and not focused on Christ, our hearts will just make idol after idol of circumstance, of situation, of our family's life, of our children's activities, of our work, of our pleasure, of our play. We'll make idols of church. But God, we say to you, we won't bow to idols. We're asking that you'll help us, that you'll prepare our hearts and our minds, that we will stand and worship you. Lord, that we will walk through fire, and as we do, we know you're there with us. That we're asking you to change us, to make us into the man and woman you've called us to be. Father, that we can be transformed by your power and your grace and your goodness. Would you please, Father, we ask very humbly, would you speak to us today through your word, through the scripture? Would you speak to us today as we open it? Lord, we want to be transformed by it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 4. If not, it'll be on the screen. We continue our series called Jesus Said. And in this series, we're looking at very important statements of Jesus. Everything Jesus said was important, but there are certain statements that bring about life transformation for us. And today we're going to focus on three statements that Jesus spoke to the Apostle Peter. Jesus and Peter had a very special relationship. One could argue that Peter was his favorite. Now, I realize nothing in Scripture tells us that for sure, but you could argue that. One could prove that Peter was the chosen leader of the disciples. That's very clear in the Scripture. And one could surely find glimpses of Peter in your life and in my life. We could find a picture of ourselves in him. How do I know that? Listen, this is how I would describe Peter. He was all at one time stubborn, passionate, bold, and timid. Now, some of you in this room would say, you just described me. I can be all those things at one time. He was also smart and not so smart all within a day's time, right? And we can resemble that as well. Jesus said many things to the Apostle Peter over the course of the 3 years they spent together. But in this series, the Jesus Said series, today, we want to look at three statements from Jesus to Peter and apply them to our lives. Here they are. Number one, Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus told Peter, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Second, Jesus said a good time later to him, who do you say that I am? That statement and that question matters for us. And then third, towards the end of Jesus' ministry on this earth, before he ascended into heaven, he said to Peter, feed my sheep. So these three, we'll start with the beginning of Jesus and Peter's relationship. We'll move to the end of it before Jesus ascends to heaven, and we'll stop right in the middle. And this will be a bookend of statements that I believe will transform our lives as well. All three of these brought change to Peter's life. Let's start where Peter started, and that is in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. It says this, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, this story in Matthew's just giving you the facts because he's going to move on to other apostles and how they came to Christ. He's just giving you the facts. But if you want more detail to the same story, you have to look at Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, we find out that it starts by Jesus showing up with a large crowd. And this crowd wants to hear from Jesus. And so they're pressing in towards the water. Jesus wants to be able to speak to them. So Peter is there with his boat. He hasn't caught any fish. And he comes up to him and says, Peter, I want to get in your boat and push out from shore a little bit and let me teach the people. And so Peter agrees to do so, and he goes out. And then after he teaches the people, he tells Peter, let your nets down on the right side and let's just see if you can catch some fish. Now that's my added words. But so he lets the net down on the right side, and it says he caught so many fish that the boat was about to break and they had to signal for more help. And it was an incredible miracle what took place in that moment. And then Peter gets on his hands and knees before the Lord and says, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. You see, there was something in that encounter that he had with Jesus. It was the special, miraculous way that Jesus moved in that Peter realized, this is a holy person. This person is from God, and I am not holy. And so it was in that context that Jesus then says to Peter, follow me, and now I will make you a fisher of men. Now that is a powerful thought. Now I want to say this to you, if you're in the room, if you're participating online, if you are listening on the radio, you're one of two types of people. Every person in this room, man, woman, boy, child, young adult, older adult, you're one of two people in this room. You are either someone who has said yes when Jesus said to follow me, or you're someone that has said no so far when he said follow me. But Jesus says follow me. And the good news is you can follow him today. Peter himself says this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise of returning, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. What does that mean? Peter himself was saying later in life that God is not slow, not sending Jesus back yet to return. He is being patient, wanting everyone that will to return to him, to come to him, wanting all to come to repentance. And then the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, everyone includes you. Would you do me a favor? And I know you love to repeat things. I know you don't really, but that's okay. Would you help me out? Say, everyone includes me. Look at the person next to you. Say, everyone includes you. Everyone. All right, great. We're together. Everyone. So when it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, you can be saved today. Jesus is saying, follow me. You can respond with a yes today. And I want to encourage you to do so. It says, Peter immediately left the big catch of fish. He left his boats. He left his family. And he followed Jesus. Listen, right now is the best time to follow Jesus. Amen. Now's the right time. So I want to encourage you right now, if you've never given your life to Jesus, to stop right now and say, Jesus, you're my hope. Jesus, I need you. You said, follow me, and I'm saying, yes, I want to follow you. I'm asking you to change my life. I'm asking you to bring salvation to me. There's no magic words you have to say, but it's you giving him your life because he has said, follow me. So today, the Savior bids you to come. Would you say yes? Settle that today, friends. Settle it today. Now, let's move on to the next statement from Jesus. So some time has passed since Jesus has called Peter, and now he has all of the disciples. And a good time later, he's taking them on a field trip. Everybody loves a good field trip. I don't know what your favorite field trip was. When I was growing up in Huntsville, going to school in Huntsville, my second favorite field trip was the Space and Rocket Center. It was always a great thing to go do. Living in Huntsville, it was still a joy to go there. My third favorite field trip was the Space and Rocket Center. My second favorite field trip was a place called Safety City. I don't know if you ever heard of that. It doesn't exist anymore in Huntsville, but it did. And they'd put you in these little go-kart-like things as like a third grader, and people would have a stop. Anyway, it was awesome. I loved it. And my very favorite field trip was in fourth grade. They took everybody to the Krispy Kreme factory. It was awesome. You got to watch them make the donuts. It was incredible. But anyway, Jesus is taking the disciples on a field trip. He does not take them to anywhere like that. Jesus says we're going somewhere, and he doesn't even necessarily tell them where they're going on the way. And the reason would be this. If he told them, they would start to say things like this to him. My parents are not going to like that you're taking me here, Jesus. There's no way we can go. This is not where good Jewish men go. We don't go here. We can't go here. Surely you're mistaken. And so he doesn't tell them where they're going. Listen, and by the way, can I remind you in your own life that there are times, this is free and extra, not part of today's message. There are times that Jesus will tell you where you're going, and there are times he's just going to take you someplace and not tell you. And there's a reason for that. The scripture says this in the Psalms. He says that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Sometimes he gives us the light and he gives us the long distance and tells us this is where you're going and this is how we're going to get there. And sometimes it's just a lamp at your feet, one step at a time, illuminating the next step. Why? Because if you saw down the road, you'd be worried, concerned, fearful. You wouldn't understand. So he's got a plan. There's a blessing down there. There's growth down there. There's maturity down there. There is a place down that road that's going to involve giving him glory. It might involve miracles, but the truth is it's a dark path to get there, so he shows you one step at a time. Now, that was free and extra. Somebody needed to hear that today. If you're wondering what the next step is and it's just a lamp, you're in good company. And these disciples were in good company as well, so they end up in a place called Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is the modern-day equivalent. This won't even do it justice, but I'll try. Picture you take all of the bad parts of Las Vegas, and there's some good parts there, I'm sure. Some good parts there. Take all the bad parts of Las Vegas, all the temptation, all the licentiousness, all the debauchery, all the bad parts, and then go down to New Orleans and take at the heyday on Bourbon Street in the middle of parades when crazy things are happening and everybody's doing things they shouldn't be doing, all kinds of stuff that can be kind of crazy there as well. Take all the evil or the hard parts of that, put both those together in one little city, make a city of it, and that's Caesarea Philippi. Now, the truth is, that's not where you'd want your Jewish young men to go, but Jesus takes them there. What we know about Caesarea Philippi is this: what has been unearthed and what archaeology would show us is that it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's gorgeous in that valley, in that area, but it was known and a hub for worshiping false gods, and there were so many little g gods, not real gods, but false gods, idols. We just sang that I won't bow to idols. You would go to Caesarea Philippi, and if you were to stop at every temple, you'd stop no less than 14 times to deal with 14 different false gods, but some believe as many as 24 or 25 different temples were there of different gods. One is for the god of Pan, P-A-N, and this is a place that where a lot of evil would happen. Sacrifice was taking place. Prostitution was taking place. Evil, horrible things were happening right there. And we understand that there was a rock that had a sort of a cave carved out for the Temple of Pan. And on the front of that would be even known in that time period, we understand from history, would be known as the gates of hell. The gates of Hades, really, is what it would say. Is the idea of what that would be. And so in the middle of all of this, in this debauchery, this difficulty, Jesus brings them there. And there's a reason. And the reason is he's about to launch his worldwide kingdom ministry in a huge way right here. In the worst place you could possibly imagine. And look at what happens here in this exchange. It comes from Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. It says, "Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' And they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Peter, when he is asked the question, who do you say that I am? He boldly proclaims that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah they've been waiting on. He's the Son of God. And so then Jesus says, I will build my church, the ministry, my people, my body. I will build it all on this declaration that you have made. It was Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. He says, I will build my church on this. And he's been building his church on that for 2,000 years. He's not building it on Peter. He's building it on Peter's confession. Peter's now in heaven with the Lord, so he can't be the leader of our church in any way, but his confession lives on. And it's your life confession and my life confession that Jesus is the Savior of the world that will change the world. Let me say that again. It's our life confession. It's not just a confession. It's our life, living it out, that will change the world. And these false gods like Pan and the others, it says that they cannot stand against the body of Christ at work. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Listen, we are on the offense as the body of Christ. So let me ask you this question about your life. Who does your life say that Jesus is? When Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Don't answer, you're the Christ, the Son of God. Who does your life say that he is? Not your words, but your living. The last month of your life, who does that reflect Jesus as being? I hope it reflects him as Savior. I hope it reflects him as King of the world. Not just our words, but our living. Then let me ask about our church. We, First Baptist Albertville, I love this church. In just a month, I will have been your pastor for 13 years. Time flies by. It seems like yesterday. Some of y'all are thinking, it seems like forever. But I'm telling you, it seems like yesterday to me. Since we were here and the church was voting for us to come in view of a call, it was like 99.99%. One person voted no. I'm over it. It's been 13 years. But I know who they are. They don't live here anymore. They're gone. It's okay. Kale got 100%, Pam got 100%, Don even got 100%. Don, come on, man, what happened? The music guy never gets 100%. How'd the pastor not get 100%? I don't understand it. But anyway, I'm over it. Anyway, but the point is, it seems like yesterday, we're not voting again, by the way. I know how the vote goes after 13 years, but it seems like yesterday we were here for that first moment and that first time. And then when I stop and think about what's happened over time, and I stop and think about this whole idea that we want to be on the offensive and we as a church want to live out the gospel message, I can tell you that my hope and prayer for you has come to fruition in so many ways. It's been awesome to watch the body of Christ live it out. But here's what I would say. If you're not part of the solution of living out the gospel and glory of Christ, I want to encourage you to get involved in that way. I'm going to make a statement that's going to seem a little offensive, and I'm not trying to defend. I just want to be honest, and that is this. If the sum total of your involvement in ministry is sitting in a seat, that's not helping the church live out the message. So I want to encourage you to find some way to be involved to serve. Now, again, you may not have the ability to do certain things. That's fine. But be a prayer warrior. You can do that. Find ways to serve. Find ways to greet. Listen, if you can sit in a seat, you can smile. So if anyone ever sits in your radius, if they can get within earshot of you and you've not spoken to them, I think you're missing part of your calling in here every day. I could go on and on about that. We all have a calling. I want to encourage us all to live out the gospel. And here, together as First Baptist Church, I would say this. We've changed our mission statement over the years a little bit. We've added different themes to a year. And I wanted to say all that about 13 years to say this. Whatever creed we have at the moment, listen, it's not our creed that matters, it's our actions. Because words are just words. Whatever the next mission statement is, whatever the next logo looks like, whatever the next sermon series is, words are just words. It's our actions that matter, how we live our lives together. I would word it this way if you're writing things down. If our declaration doesn't lead to dedication, then it's just information and not transformation. Let me say it again. If our declaration that he is king does not lead to dedication with our hands and feet, then it's just information and it's not life transformation. God is calling us to be transformed, not just informed. No one really cares how much we know, right? What they want to see is how we live it, where we focus our time, where we focus our energy, where we put our resources, our money, how we treat others who don't know Jesus, how we treat the least of these in our community, how we treat the least of these around the world, how we treat our neighbors near and far. That is what answers the question from Jesus, who do you say that I am? That's the only answer that matters, how we live it out as a group. I want you to think about Peter for a minute. He was an incredible difference maker. So he declared, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Peter lived his life like that. And I want you to think about the incredible way he made a difference. I found some facts putting together for this message. And here's what I found. Peter's name is mentioned in the Bible 183 times. You won't find many people who had their name mentioned more in the Bible than the Apostle Peter. Peter dominates the first 11 chapters of the book of Acts. If you read Acts 1 through 11, Peter's all over that, at the birthplace of the church and what it's like. It was Peter's rooftop dream that led to the place where the Gentiles could hear the gospel for the first time. And unless I'm mistaken, everybody in this room is a Gentile. And so we owe a great deal to Peter's dream and to him listening to what it said and what it meant and saying the gospel's not just for Jews, it's for Gentiles as well. When Peter was arrested and he was miraculously set free and escaped from prison, we learn from that how to be bold, and we watch his life and we learn how to be bold. It was Peter who said the words, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. It was Peter who wrote down the words telling us to make our calling and election sure. And it was Peter himself who said that you and I are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy name, a people belonging to God. We have so much to learn from this rock star of the faith. And you may say, yes, Chris, but I am no Peter. Well, Peter wasn't always Peter himself. He started off as Simon, and every time he kind of had some struggles, Jesus tended to refer to him that way again. He made many poor choices along his journey. In fact, it wasn't that he just made some haphazard decisions early on and then got everything worked out and everything was perfect from that point forward. In fact, this last statement, when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, I'm going to build my church on that statement and that confession that I am who you say that I am. One of the biggest moments ever in Scripture. Do you realize 6 verses later, Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Just 6 verses later. And so Peter's life was complicated in a lot of ways. And the reality is Peter was not a perfect man by any way. He was also the same guy who tried to correct Jesus' theology a few different times. He had in his mind how he thought things should go. Peter was the one who was a botched renegade bodyguard and tried to take a sword and split Malchus's head right in the middle to save Jesus when he was going to be arrested, and he missed and only got his ear. Listen, Peter had plenty of ways that he messed up and things weren't good for him. So how is it that Peter started out so rough and ended up so strong? It's simple. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit at work in his life. Listen, friends, please don't miss this. The way you start doesn't have to be the way you end up, because your past does not dictate your future. I don't miss that. Where you are right now, how you're starting, that doesn't mean that's the way you're going to end up, because your past doesn't dictate your future. The Holy Spirit brings the power for us to walk as Jesus walked. You see, Jesus sees us for who we're becoming. I've said this time and time again over the years, but I believe it with all my heart, that he doesn't look at us for who we are necessarily just now. He sees who we are. He knows who we are, but he knows who we're becoming. Over and over in the Scripture, he points to who they're becoming and who they're going to be. Why wouldn't he do that for us as well? Think back to what the Sunday school group that I'm a part of was even studying today when you talk about Gideon. Think back to the Old Testament. Gideon is hiding in a threshing floor. He is hiding in a wine press that's underground, hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, because he's afraid of God's enemies in the area and what they were going to maybe do to him. So he's hiding to even thresh the wheat. And God sends the angel of the Lord to come to him and say, greetings, mighty man of valor. A guy hiding, trying to thresh wheat, and God calls him a mighty man of valor. Why? Because God knew what the next chapter was going to say. God knew what Gideon was about to do for him. And so, friends, I want to encourage you, wherever you are right now, if you feel timid, you feel afraid, you feel defeated, you feel full of sin, you feel haphazard, maybe you feel a little lackadaisical. I don't know what the case is, but I will tell you this. God doesn't just see you for where you are right now. He sees you for who you're becoming. And he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has a way to take your shame and make it pure. He has a way to take your mistake and turn it into a message. He has a way to take your pain and turn it into a platform. He has a way to take your trials and turn it into a testimony. That's what God does in our lives. And so I want you to stop and think about Peter for a moment. Of all the good things that Peter did and all the crazy things that Peter did, the reality was that the Holy Spirit did a work in his life. And that same Holy Spirit will do a work in your life. So the most pivotal way it seemed to happen for Peter was through a conversation. And that's the last statement of Jesus I want to cover this morning. When Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Now I want to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag and let you know before I get there. I believe without a doubt, 100% today, Jesus is saying to you, feed my sheep. If you know Jesus. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, he's saying, follow me. If you're here and you do know Jesus, I'm fully convinced he is saying to you today, feed my sheep. Let me explain. So Peter rocks along with Jesus for 3 years. He says he would never leave the Lord. He doesn't understand how someone could ever do so. Jesus is arrested. Peter cuts off Malchus's ear. Jesus does a miracle and puts it back together, tells him to calm down. They move on. Peter tries to stay close as Jesus is arrested because he's worried about him. But his anxiety and his fear and his timidity overpower that day his boldness and his brashness. And so 3 times Peter denies Jesus. 3 times. Can you imagine how awful Peter felt? Peter was a man who loved Jesus, who wanted to follow him, to give his life for him, and he would give his life for him, but in this moment, he denied him. And so Jesus dies. He's dead for 3 days, comes back to life. He meets with Peter and the apostles, and they all see him in the flesh. Can you imagine what that must have been like? But even to see the resurrected Jesus was not enough for Peter, because it seems if we were to try to make sense of Peter's actions, what we would seem to think is happening is this, that the results of the resurrection had reached his eyes, but it had yet to reach his heart. He had yet to understand that somehow the resurrection meant new life for him, because all he could remember was denial, denial, denial. So he must have thought things were never going to be right between him and Jesus, even after seeing Jesus, even after Jesus breathes and blows the Holy Spirit on those men as a reminder of what he's about to do for all men. Even after all that, Peter says, I don't know about this. I've denied him so much. So what does he do? He goes fishing. So Peter goes back to where he started, to the banks of the shore, gets a boat. Remember, he doesn't have a boat anymore. Maybe it's a family boat still, or he finds a boat. But anyway, he gets a boat, and he goes fishing. He fishes all night and doesn't catch a thing. It's reminiscent of that first encounter where Jesus said, follow me. And then the great Redeemer, Forgiver, and Mercy himself comes walking up on the beach. And they're out a little distance from shore, haven't caught anything. Peter can't even catch fish now. Can you imagine how he felt? And Jesus walks up on shore and calls out to him and tells him what to do. Tells him to cast your nets on the other side. So he casts his net on the right side. And they catch such a huge number of fish, the boat almost flips. Peter realizes it's Jesus. He realizes at this point he's not going to walk on water. He thought those days were long gone. So instead he just hops in the water and trudges right through it. The same water he walked on a year and a half before. Now here he is, and he's just trudging through water. He's making his way to Jesus, and he comes before him. And then this little interlude happens. Jesus cooks him breakfast. And I love that. Jesus cooks him breakfast, and then this is what's said in John 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Can you imagine Jesus saying to you, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Denial, denial, denial. Peter must have felt horrible in that moment. And it says this, he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So Jesus goes back to how he started with Peter. He helps him catch a miraculous amount of fish. He says, follow me. But first, he reinstates Peter in a powerful way. Three phrases. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Well, friends, please hear this today. First of all, Jesus is still calling people to choose him time and time again. He's still saying, follow me. Second, he is still calling all followers to feed his sheep. I think we missed this part of it. We think that was special for Peter, but the reality is every person who knows Jesus, who is a follower of Jesus, is called to feed his sheep. Who are his sheep? John chapter 10 is clear that all believers are his sheep, and those who are going to come to know him are his sheep. And so our job is to make disciples. Our job is to encourage others. Our job is to help people grow in their faith. So nobody escapes being Peter today. Jesus would say to you and to me, feed my sheep. So my question to you is this, what is your calling in the kingdom of God? How is God leading you to feed his sheep? For you, he may be saying, feed my sheep and take care of those kids at your house and help them to come to know him. He may be saying to you, feed my sheep and invest in your spouse. He may be saying, feed my sheep and you serve in this ministry, or feed my sheep and do that this way at work to make a disciple of someone and help them grow in him. I don't know what the case is, but the call is we're supposed to care for others around us. We're supposed to help others grow in him today. So that is what he's calling you and me to do. We are Peter, like it or not. We are both passionate and timid at the same time. We are both smart and not so smart sometimes in the same day. We, like Peter, have our own ideas about how Jesus ought to do things. And every time Peter had his idea how Jesus ought to do it, Jesus responded by calling him Satan. He was not saying he was Satan. It was hyperbole to remind him, an exaggerated speech to say, follow my plan, not your own. And friends, today Jesus would say to everybody in this room, follow my plan, not your own. Follow the scripture plan, not your own. Don't impress upon me how you think I should act and love and serve others. Instead, see what I'm doing and be a part of that and apply it to your own life. Don't put your own politics or your own agenda on top of my scripture. Instead, see what I am doing and live that out for the gospel's sake. That's what he's calling us to do, friends. So I want to invite you to do the same. Would you bow with me with our heads bowed for just a moment? First of all, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that fishers of men will someday feed the sheep. So if that's you and he's saying, follow you him today, would you do so? If you need to give your life to him today, do so right now. Second, if you are following him, can I encourage you to make sure that your life declaration is being lived out through the dedication of your hands and feet and with our and where we put our resources and who we are. As a faith family, that we can declare him with great creeds and logos, but instead, let's declare him with our hands and feet in what we do and who we love and how we serve. Who do you say that he is? And then lastly, just as Jesus so lovingly said to Peter, feed my sheep, he says to you and me, feed my sheep. With your head bowed, I don't know about you, but I want to be a difference maker for the kingdom of God. I want my life to count. The older I get, I feel like as I can see more of life behind me than ahead of me, 100% certain of that. As I can see that, it is a big reminder to me that I want the next years of my life to count. I want them to count for my family more than ever. I want them to count for the kingdom more than ever. So my prayer is that you would do the same. Feed his sheep. So whatever you need to do today, if maybe you need to come and pray, pray. If you need to come make a decision, make a decision. Father God, would you work in each of our hearts now as you say, follow me, as you ask, who do you say that I am, and as you say, feed my sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.